Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the guys who somehow thought it was a good idea to kidnap the governor of Michigan, or at least plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan, pled guilty today. Or I'm sorry, they pled guilty, sentenced today to just over 6 years in prison. And the story that we find out is that, you know, this guy, along with six others, they literally built what they called a shoot house to resemble the governor's vacation home. And they did exercises on how they were going to break in with their automatic weapons and their firearms and all that to kidnap the governor of a state. Lunacy. And I'll tell you, I don't know that 6 years is enough. The government was asking for 9.5. But the judge gave some leniency because I got to think this guy's going to sing like a bird for everybody else because he has been cooperative. But I'm thinking 6 years. 6 years is what we should have given every one of those people who walked inside our Capitol on Insurrection Day. That should be the minimum, not this, slap on the wrist weekends at Bernie's. Nonsense. Real penalties. Maximum penalties. These people shouldn't see the light of day. But that's just my opinion. And here to share some thoughts on, this and everything else we can get to, I've asked our good friend Justin Hendricks to come talk with us. Justin is the editor over at Tech Policy Press. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me tonight.
So what do you think of this? Let's start with this first, because I got a lot to get to with you. But what do you think of the sentence? Is 6 years enough?
Well, I think that it certainly is an interesting case to look at and one that prompts a lot of concern. And I know that, we've talked about this case in the past. One of the things that interests me most about it is the role that conspiracy theories, social media played in this particular scenario. We know that at least one member of the group came in because he quite literally saw a recommendation on Facebook for a group that then turned out to be a feeder into a more extreme conversation that I believe was hosted on a message app. And he got in with these guys and became an informant. And that's one of the reasons that this whole thing unraveled. And that was very interesting reporting from out of Michigan.
Yeah, no, or as I call it, Michigan, because there's where all these crazy groups out. Now I know they're not all Trump supporters, but they're all in that direction. They're all the anti-government crowd, and this kind of is in that world. But you got to look at this and go, what's coming out of people like Trump? What's coming out of people like Mark Meadows? What's coming out of people like Scott Perry in my neck of the woods? What's coming out of people like Jim Jordan? This only adds fuel to that anti-government hatred that people like this feel, and only adds fire to them going, we're going to take our country back, to do dumb stuff like this.
Well, there is, an effort among some of these political elites to try to distance themselves from groups like the Boogaloos or some of these extremists, and to argue that, they've got nothing to do with these individuals. But, one of the reasons that the New York Times reports that the Whitmer affair was seen as a precursor to January 6th is exactly what you say. A lot of these groups, whether Republican elites like it or not, are 100% activated by some of the same concerns and some of the same rhetoric and conspiracy theories and ideas that political elites, unfortunately, have supported on the right. And so there very much is a connection, even in the case of the Boogaloos, which, there might not be a straight line to Trumpism or to Donald Trump, but there's certainly a dotted line to many of those ideas.
No, I see all of that anti-government, white supremacy, all of those people are in the same arena. They may not walk in line step, but they're all in the same arena. And the dog whistle, I think, is effective for all of them.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the thing is what we're seeing, I think, is a kind of, welling up or a kind of a threshold that's been reached in this country of concerns that, are anti-government, that are in many cases rooted in white supremacy and racism, that are about maintaining a sort of minority rule at all costs. And all of those things, that stew of issues and ideas kind of come together and occasionally lead to violence, like what we see in this plot against Governor Whitmer.
Yeah, now this was about the mask mandates. This wasn't about the stop the steal elections and all that. That's a whole nother tinderbox that that they've stoked the fire of. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. That was about the mask mandates, that they were upset. Government overreach, you know, an infringement on liberty. You know, putting a mask over your face somehow is an infringement on your liberty. But you breathing out a crowd full of people and infecting them with a deadly virus, that not an infringement on someone's liberty.
Absolutely.
It's just weird. Now, one of the things that one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is you guys over at Just Security have done this timeline. And I got to tell you, I literally spent an hour on this going through all of the painstaking work that you guys have done at looking at Jim Jordan and really the systematic disinformation campaign that he has been part of. What I think led up to, you know, he didn't only do it, but he was one of the main players in leading up to January 6th. Walk me through some of the things that you found as you were looking at what Jim Jordan had accomplished during his timeline.
Absolutely. And I'll just point out for your listeners, if they're not familiar with Just Security, it's a nonpartisan, nonprofit publication that focuses on national security and rights issues. And I occasionally have the privilege to write for it, mostly on technology and issues around disinformation. And with two co-authors, Nicholas Tonkins and Shruti Venkatachalam, I helped to put together this timeline, which relied on some resources from other groups. Media Matters for America, which is a group that monitors conservative misinformation, a group called Advanced Democracy, which is a nonprofit and nonpartisan research entity, and then some work that actually Representative Zoe Lofgren's staff had done back in March to pull together social media posts from some of the Republicans who objected to the certification of the Electoral College. And what we put together here is, well, if you print it out, I think it's more than 80 pages of material that really tries to walk you through the role of one man, Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, and the steps that he took to create the impression that the election was stolen amongst his constituents and in the broader public.
Now, the thing that gets me is, you know, I don't think Jim Jordan really truly believes that the election was stolen. I think this is just political opportunism. And if you go through this stuff, he's always been a fire starter. He's always been the attack dog. And it's always been an ideological thing because or that's my impression. I guess I should ask yours.
Well, he is absolutely very popular on the right, very popular in right-wing media. One of the things that is, you know, certainly true of him is that he appears on Fox News and OANN and Newsmax more often than many of his fellow Republicans. He is 100% a favorite of some of the, you know, independent media voices, the podcasters, the, you know, the Glenn Blecks of this world, that kind of thing. And so he's out there a lot. And so there's no shortage of material to draw from when you want to look into what role he played. And you're right. You know, it's not clear that he necessarily believes that Joe Biden's not the legitimate president. And just this week in a House Rules Committee meeting, he was kind of pushed on this point in particular. And he actually claimed to his colleagues there that he had never said on television that the election was stolen, which, of course, our timeline shows is simply not true.
But the thing is, you know, he says it often enough, and he says a lot of this stuff, and it plays in those media circles that you named and others to get people who are, well, only listening to that, and they never hear, as you said, that maybe he admitted, well, you know, it's all, I never said that. But the message is still out there. And that's what bothers me about this. There's no accountability for someone like Jordan who can say these outrageous things. There's nothing.
Well, that's absolutely the question. And, you know, you could look at a timeline like this and really come to that conclusion. Where is the accountability if the voters in Ohio won't hold him to account for this? But, you know, we hope that to some extent by putting this information into this form, that A, those voters, but B, other entities that may have an interest in holding Jordan and others to account in the future will have it to hand. And, you know, when you look at the actions that he took, we call out 15 in particular, starting in August of 2020, and right up until quite literally this week, he's been remarkably consistent in taking actions in order to create that impression that the election was stolen. And, you know, almost every one of the incidents that we refer to in the timeline, we also include fact checks. We include, related information, which explains the additional context that often Jordan is leaving out or obscuring or obfuscating or simply skipping over in his public remarks. But what you're really left with is this impression of someone, as you say, who is, you know, going to the mat. He's going to fight for Donald Trump through to the end.
Yeah. Now, again, as you pointed out in your timeline, early on, before the election even happened, he was laying the groundwork, as Trump did. Look, this isn't just Jim Jordan. This is the entire Republican establishment almost. And look, you know, Trump started that they're going to steal the election from me nonsense back in 2015. So this was just a continuation. But Jordan, as you point out, you know, months before the election, is saying Democrats are going to try to steal it. The day before the election, he's out there saying Democrats are going to do everything they can to steal it. And then alleging ongoing theft and ongoing stuff all through the process. And you know, look, even to the day of the insurrection, calling it the ultimate day of significance, I think is what he said.
And in that, you know, he claims to be, you know, quoting from Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who apparently referred to January 6th and the certification of the Electoral College as the ultimate day of significance. But that becomes a phrase that Jordan uses again and again in the days leading into January 6th, where he's essentially trying to kind of point people towards that. He's trying to mobilize his fellow Republicans to, stand against the certification. At one point, he creates you might say the false impression that maybe their objection to the certification might work. He says that, you know, he hopes that a majority of Congress congressional representatives will object to the certification, which of course was never a possibility, certainly in a democratically controlled House.
Right.
So, you know, there was quite a lot of activity there leading into January 6th. And then, of course, as you say, on January 6th itself, which is very questionable and problematic. One of the key things, and this might land Jordan in front of the Select Committee at some point, is that only in the last month has it emerged that Jordan did, in fact, speak with Donald Trump on January 6th. And he claims not to remember, exactly when. But he has confirmed that did in fact take place. He may perhaps have gone ahead and let that slip, knowing that that information may end up in the hands of Select Committee investigators, no matter what.
Yeah. Now this Select Committee, I said from the beginning, I wasn't overly comfortable with Pelosi saying, no, you can't have the Republicans can't have these certain people on the committee. And for my reason being that, you know, I want Jim Jordan on one of those seats for someone to turn to and go, well, Jim, you were there. You know what this was. And because I don't think you get them in front of the committee. I think it'd be years before you can subpoena them into testify. And we never get them. If he's smart, he never does it. For me, I wanted them on the committee because he's already in the room. So you could turn to question. Was it smart of her to not put those Republicans on the committee that she didn't want?
Well, Nancy Pelosi actually made some comments to a conference last week. It was very underreported, just a kind of one piece on it, I think, in The Hill. But she actually spoke to this. She spoke to the idea of, you know, Jordan and the objection from McCarthy to him not being included, or, you know, among the individuals not being included. And in fact, the, you know, thing that she said is, well, she seemed to indicate that perhaps he might be, in fact, a subject of the investigation or called to testify in front of it. She didn't quite go there. But she did seem to leave the door open to it. So I think we'll have to see. Yeah. We'll have to see where that goes.
No, I'm interested to see, because this committee, I'm hoping this select committee does find who is responsible, no matter where it is. And I want them to find where the money came to fund it all. I want to know who was behind it. I want to know who was talking to Trump and how much coordination was going on these tours that happened before. Because we have to know if our government has been infiltrated by people who wanted to take it down, and if this was truly, as it appears, a coordinated coup attempt.
Well, you know, you just saw today, Rick, the Select Committee actually issue its first demands for records, in particular from the executive branch. So, you know, I direct your listeners to january6.house.gov, which is the website that's been set up for the Select Committee, and you can go there and see the types of information that they are requesting. But there's requests for information from everything from the National Archives, the DOD, Department of Homeland Security, Interior, Department of Justice, the FBI, National Counterterrorism Center, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So these are pages and pages of demands for records that really do indicate this is going to be a very serious investigation. They're going to leave no stone unturned. And they're going to look at a range of different theories of, what happened on January 6th, but also what led up to January 6th and what types of things need to be changed in order to try to avoid the type of outcome we had there that day.
No, I think the first thing you have to do is start throwing people in jail for their actions on that day, and they have to be lengthy sentences. None of this nonsense. We're going to tap you on the wrist and say, "Oh, don't do it again." As we've seen so far, at least in my opinion, for the people who were in the Capitol on that day. But also, we need to get to the people like Jordan who did. Look, I think these people know what they're doing. I think they know that they're stoking a fire. I know that they know they're riling up the base, and they know what they're capable of. So at some point, and I know they get immunity when talking on the floor and they get all that stuff, but at some point you got to hold them accountable for loading this gun and pointing it in the direction that they did.
Well, you know, Jim Jordan would say, as he did in the Rules Committee, you know, the other day, that you started it, Democrats. You know, you had the Mueller investigation. You tried to suggest that there was something wrong with Donald Trump's election, or perhaps there was something illegitimate about the way that he came to power. But, you know, any reading of the facts suggests that there is no equivalency. There was no cyber ninja audit of the 2016 election, months and months into the situation. There was no, effort of the scale of what we saw mounted by Donald Trump's lawyers. Sidney Powell today reprimanded by a federal judge for, absolutely egregious and unethical behavior in her pursuit of the theory that the election was stolen. There's nothing like this that we've seen in this nation in recent memory. And it seems to me that Republican elites, to some extent, do have to admit, just going back to the beginning of the conversation we were having, that unfortunately they are activating some very worrisome individuals who are willing to take matters to extremes.
Yeah. And I think the work that you guys have done over at Just Security, and I hope people will take a look at it. Justsecurity.org is the website. It's the timeline for Jim Jordan. Look, you can fall into this rabbit hole, and it's all there. All of the tweets, all of the fact checking, all of the links to all of the things that he said, and it's right there. There's almost no disputing it. I give you guys credit. You left no stone unturned. So does this become something that the Select Committee possibly looks at?
Well, it goes into the January 6th clearinghouse that we've created. So if you check that out, it's on the homepage of Just Security. You can see that, where we've collected information related to January 6th documents, not just things that Just Security and its partners have produced, but things from all sources, repository of data and information and reporting and analysis. You'll see it there. So all of that, of course, is available to the committee or to any of your listeners, anyone that wants to take a look.
No, this is an incredible site, and I hope folks will go justsecurity.org That's the website. We'll get it out. Justin, great stuff. I appreciate the work. I hope you'll come back and share some more with us down the line as this picks up.
Rick, it's always great to talk to you.
I appreciate it. Good stuff, Justin Hendricks. Check out the site, justsecurity.org. Source material all there for your evaluation. All good stuff. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.